tonight we are, and again, thank you again for all that you did on Sunday as I crossed the threshold of 68 and entered into the 69 years of life. And we just so appreciate all of you that cards and greetings and gifts and all that you did on Sunday. I just wanted to take the time, and not only Sunday, some before Sunday, but I just wanted to thank you for all that you've done. And tell you, my heart was overflowing. Brother always called and said, "We leak, huh?" So I leak a lot. So I guess the older I get, I leak the more. But I so appreciate the love that was displayed on this past Sunday. So we're ready now to receive the word of the Lord. We don't want to give him all the time in need, so we want to get him up soon. My dear friend, from way back, from the time, in fact, we started pastoring in 1980. We met in 1980. And you know the radio station WAEC? At one time, back in 1980, they didn't allow us folk on that radio station. We weren't on. It was not a predominantly white station. It was a white station. And the two of us auditioned. Do you believe it now? We had auditioned to get on the station. And we were accepted on back in the early stages, in the early part of 19. In fact, our church was only a month old. That's when we met now. We were a few weeks when we first met. I think we were 2 or 3 weeks into the ministry. It was a friend of mine from St. Louis said, "There is a brother that reminds me so much of you, and his name is Earl Johnson. You got to meet him." And I had all kind of thoughts as to what he must look like based upon his voice. He was a real thin guy at the time, and I thought he was a big, robust fella. So we met at the airport for the first time, and that was the beginning of a friendship that's lasted for all of these 38 years, for 38 years. So it's a blessing as we, in fact, you will be the first speaker for the year 2018. Is that correct? Have we had somebody else? No one else. You're the first speaker for 2018. So so that's a blessing. We're starting off right. And with my first friend in ministry, in pastorate, was Dr. Earl Johnson. And we did ministry together. We did life together over these 38 years, conferences where he was head of what's called COIWC, Convention of Independent World Outreach Churches, that changed his name several other times, evolved, but it was a fellowship of churches all over the world, not just United States. People come from other parts of the world, and Dr. Johnson led and ministered to so many pastors and ministers that have that are renowned now, but he was the foundation in their lives. So his message, his life, his ministry has been a blessing to a lot of people for a long, long time. So he's my elder brother, so I have to give him credit for that. He's older than I am, so I'm still catching up. But I'm so appreciative of having him with us in our home and now in the church, so we'll share him with you. So let us open our hearts as we come to receive the word of the Lord tonight from Dr. Earl Johnson as he comes. Let's receive him.
All right, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm a long-winded preacher, so let's go. I don't want to have to be told to sit down, okay? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. Praise the Lord. I first of all thank God for my dear brother. We passed friendship a long time ago. We're brothers. My first opportunity to be a granddad came when the Walkers had their children, and they've come up with a name that has lasted all these years, Uncle Pawpaw. He said, "You're too young just to be a grandfather and too old not to be an uncle." So Uncle Pawpaw, amen, praise the Lord. You love the Lord? One of the aims of this message tonight is to get you to love him more, to get you to understand relationally where you are with him. God is not an ogre. God desires relationship. And the greatest relationship that can ever develop in your life is one with the Holy Spirit of God, so that you're in constant communication with Him. So tonight, I'm going to talk about a relational aspect of us and God. And the title of this message tonight is The Power of Determination. The power of determination. Say that with me. The power of determination. I'm going to make several notes before we get into the message so that as we get into it, you will have a better understanding. First note is that the essential nature of determination is purpose. The essential nature of determination is purpose. If you do not understand what your purpose is, determination is waiting on the sidelines for that decision. Only when you know why and what you're doing does determination become a viable part of your life. So you don't want to waste determination. You want to put it in. If you have your children here tonight, please make sure they listen, because this is one of the factors of our lives where we do not discipline our children. We do not teach them how to keep going when something happens. And that's why the world today is the most quitting population that's ever faced on the earth. We quit everything. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And we've lost account of the little fairy tales that we used to say, you know, the choo-choo train, I think I can. See, those things were motivational, but we got rid of them in favor of new age stuff that doesn't teach you how to do anything but misuse people. Amen, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm an amen preacher, so I'd say them all. I want you to understand that the essential nature of determination is purpose, and the axis of purpose is reason. The drive of cause is the will, and the strong point of the will is determination. That's how I want you to think of it tonight. Go over that again. The essential nature of determination is purpose. 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 Okay? Jesus came, and Holy Spirit, I've appeared unto you for this purpose. To Paul, that was the message to him. I've appeared unto you for this purpose. Everything in your life has to have purpose, or the reason you're doing it will be unclear. Everything. Even if you're a quitter, quit with purpose. Understand how to be the best quitter that could ever be. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Whatever you are, be the best. Rise in that category and make sure that you're the best of whatever you do. Purpose. Purpose. The axis of purpose is reason. Reason. The church has been cheated out of the ability to think processively because we don't believe in things like logic and reasoning. And, you know, we don't understand that that is what the function of the human mind is, to facilitate thought, process, and make decisions. We always saying, my mind belongs to God, my mind belongs to God. How can your mind belong to the most intelligent being and you not be intelligent? And we don't teach enough, or we're not allowed to teach about the mental aspects of people, and that's what's in a mess. Because if your mind is not set, if your mind is not right, then everything else is wrong, because that's the processor. Are y'all listening to this? That's the processor, is the mind, and so we have to do it. Now, here's the definition that I'm going to use for determination. These are the words. Okay, number one, willpower. So we have to have willpower. We have to have willpower. The second word is resolve. Resolve. I'm just going to ask you this question. How many unresolved issues are you dealing with right now? People, please, don't go to bed with unresolved issues. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the, in other words, if you're angry about something, resolve it before you go to sleep. The reason why sleeping aids are one of the top, it's selling billions of dollars a year, is because people can't sleep because they're not resolved. And when you're not resolved, then you're disturbed. And if you're disturbed, you can't rest. And if you can't rest, you're tired. If you can't tire, you lose your job because you go to sleep at work. I bind that devil. No, it's not the devil. It's unresolved issues. The third word is this. You're going to love this one. Firmness of purpose. This is the definition of determination. Firmness of purpose. Firmness of purpose. Not looseness of purpose, but I know why I'm alive. I know why I'm saved. I know I'm not saved to keep from going to hell. I didn't get saved. First of all, I did because that was, you know, in the church, that was a call. If you don't want to go to hell, you get down here now. So we got saved every week, all of us. We just got saved every week. We just come up and got saved all over again. Why? Because we didn't want to go to hell. That's not a good purpose because now we don't have to go to hell. We're living in hell. So we got to have answers that are going to come to us. So this third one is firmness of purpose. Firmness of purpose. Watch this. Marriages fail because people don't know the purpose of marriage. You don't marry to have sex. You marry because there's a compatibility between you and another person, and you've worked it out and resolved it to the fact that it's more than love, it's commitment. I was just talking to my dear friends last night. I tell this story everywhere I go because it's a deliverance for me. My wife said to me one day, we need to talk. And any man married, know when your wife said, we need to talk, it's not about the groceries. We need to talk, she said. And so she went on to tell me after we sat down to talk, she told me about her dreams and what she had dreamt to be in life and how she'd wanted life to be. And then she looked at me and said, and look what I got. What she was telling me is, you don't have firmness of purpose. You married, but I had something else in mind for marriage, but look what I got. I said to her that day, I don't want to be anybody's look what I got. So I'm going to change. What happened? I got firmness of purpose. I got firmness of purpose. Can you imagine Pastor introducing me tonight to our speaker is a man that has been in the ministry for a long time, and we're going to introduce him tonight. He's going to give the message. I want to introduce, brother. Look what his wife got. Let's begin now to have firmness of purpose. Say that. And then watch this one, this last one. Fixed persistence. Fixed persistence. Fixed persistence. Not the use of persistence, but fixed persistence. Fixed. This is my determination. This is my determination. This is my determination. I always go back in my heart to my grandmother. My grandmother had a limited education. My father had only gone to the third grade, and they had to take him out of school to pick and pull and chop cotton so that the family could eat. He's the elder son, and so that's he had to do that. My father, in his ministry, became, the only thing he did not have was a degree for what he knew, but he was a theologian. could not read, but he sat. Watch this. He sat with a willpower. He sat with a resolution. He sat with firmness of purpose. He sat with a fixed persistence and said, God, teach me how to read your word. And God taught him how to read. And he read the Bible. Listen to me. He read that Bible from one book to the last book and could exegesis as if he had gone to school to be a theologian. Third grade education. What excuse do I have? Are you listening to me? All of us had to come up because if dad could believe God to teach him how to read, we had teachers to teach us how to read. Are we going to be less than that? So we have to have a fixed persistence. I mean, listen, people, to look at you that are here tonight. They're not people here tonight because somewhere along the line they didn't have a fixed persistence that if it's Wednesday and they're tired, they can still come and be refreshed in the word. Your fixed persistence is in demonstration of what you're doing now. You'll get up in the morning and go to work because you have a fixed persistence. You will get on a freeway and stay on a freeway for 3 or 4 hours to get to your job because you have a fixed. Earl, preach! Glory to God, preach! You have to have a fixed persistence, a fixed persistence. John, go to the book of John, chapter 12, verse 27. We're going to see the fixed persistence. We're going to see the firmness of purpose, the willpower and resolve. John 12, 27. John 18, 37 is the next one. So you can put both of them down. I want you to go to these two. John 12, 27 first. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? This is Jesus just prior to the cross. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Save me from this hour. Did I put the wrong one up there? The wrong? Okay. Save me from this hour. But watch what he says. Willpower, resolve, firmness of purpose, and fixed persistence. For this cause came I into this hour. What are you facing that you've already been prepared for in advance? And now it's time for the demonstration of it. I came for this hour. I was born. But listen to me. I love this because we see the humanity of Jesus. Because in these movies, it just looked like, okay, he's just kind of like going up and he's just kind of volunteering for this. But he was made manifest in human flesh. Or this human flesh is saying, Father, if there's any way to save me from this hour, but because I understand, I'm going to exercise determination and I will say out of my mouth, but for this cause came I unto this hour. This hour exists for what I'm supposed to do. What is it in life that you're now facing that you came to that hour for? And guess what? There's no failure when you come to your hour. Whew. Is that all right? See, yea, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So the church is not, we're not shocked when people don't like us. We're not shocked when we're going through persecution because that's part of what it was for. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I never had all this stuff until I got saved. Well, you weren't a threat. You understand what I'm saying? You weren't a threat. You know, when I went out for basketball, I started in the first five. I was part of the first five. When the coach found out that I wasn't really what I was in practice, I was on the bench. And so my friends had come to see me play. We said, man, we didn't get to see you go in. Why? Because I didn't come there for that hour. I didn't come for that hour. Mine was just to be on the team, to wear the shorts and the shirt. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So what is the purpose? What is your purpose? What is your purpose? John 18, 37. John 13, 18, 37. 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou say I'm a king. But watch what Jesus said. You say I'm a king. To this end was I born. To this end was I born. If you really, really want to get a life that's substance and a life that's great and a life of understanding, why were you born? Why were you born? Go back. If your parents are still alive or if they're not, ask God, why was I born? Why was I born? Why am I here? Why am I here? My grandmother used to look at us all the time. I said, ooh, she'd look at us and say, Lord have mercy, half of y'all shouldn't even be here. You ain't worth a dime. She's, oh, you listen to me. She dipped snuff and just spit out her stuff. Yeah. My grandmother was a piece of work. She was a piece of work. I tell people all the time, my grandmother could wake up. The Baptist church that she belonged to was right across the street. She would wake up on Sunday morning, go to her service, early service, come back, fix breakfast for us, okay, dress us and send us to our church down the street, go back to church, come back, shoot her bar friend, and go back to evening service. She shot him because he was seeing somebody else and threatened him. If you call the police, I'll kill you. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. I just gave you an example of determination. To this end was I born. To this end was I born. You see, you change the momentum of your life when you understand why you're here. If you could just get a hold of why you're here, then everything will change. Everything will change. And things will come into perspective that need to come in. For this was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. This is what Jesus said. Luke 22:42. These are addendums to the notes. These are addendums to the note. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing to remove this cup from me. Jesus was operating in human flesh. Listen to me. He had to become like us to die for us. Did you hear what I'm saying? He had to become like us to die for us. It couldn't have been a supernatural death for a natural people. It had to be a natural death for natural people. Then we become supernatural as he is, because if he exchanged his spiritual life for us, we then give him our fleshly life. That's what it's all about. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He says, listen, your power is in the spirit and not in your flesh. You can, listen, if you got mean people, you can't fight them in the flesh. You got to fight them in your spirit. You can't love people in your flesh. Okay, I saved you. Oh, glory. It takes that spirit, man. And so Jesus is showing us the examples of them both. You be determined to walk with Jesus. Be determined to walk in the spirit. Be determined that you are going to do everything you possibly can to be everything that he wants you to be. Glory to God. Now I'm going to say something. I want you to follow this. We're going to move into an area now where the will is going to be vital. The will is very, very important. I'm going to say something that many, many people really look at me real funny when I say this, but the most powerful entity in the world is the human will. The most powerful entity in the world is the human will. There's nothing more powerful than the human will, so powerful that God honors it. So powerful that God honors it. Look what he said. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will that whosoever, I am not going to give my son to die for the world and put if you will receive him. No, no, no. My son died and you're going to get saved. Are you hearing me? He died for y'all. He gave his life for y'all. And you're going to have a choice of whether you're going to receive him? I don't think so. Everybody in here going to get saved before you go home tonight. What is the value here? That God loves you so much that he says, look, I love you. My son can save you. My son can give you a new life. But if you don't want that, you can have the alternative. None of us are that kind. None of us are that. We don't even think like that. We don't even think you have options. But he says it, and he gave you a will, and he says, I'll not tamper with it. Now, there's some things I want you to do that I can begin to show you and reveal to you how you should be doing them. But when it comes to your choice, it has to be yours. It has to be yours. You, whosoever will. See, that's why it's not really common to marry people who don't understand the individualism of another person's will and try to make them do something. First of all, y'all should spend more time before you get married to know what other person's will is, so when you get married, you're not surprised when they say no. I'm not cooking anymore. I'm not cooking anymore. Y'all want to eat? Y'all going to have to cook. Everybody going to be responsible for their own. I'm through. I have cooked enough all my life. If I was with my mama's house, something comes open. Y'all understand? But whosoever will, think of the joy of understanding the power of your will and becoming empowered by the word for your will and living this life now in the one of the most beautiful, most powerful entities of the whole world, a free will given to God first. And now I can share my life with other people and not be mandatory. Are you listening to me? Listen, what does this remind you of? What does that remind you of? Okay, but it's a knock from a Jehovah Witness. Now, you knock on it and I'll answer. Go ahead. Yes, you are. Well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness too. I love the Lord. You know what she told me? If you do, why aren't you out here with me? Y'all didn't hear me. If you're such a witness, why are you at home? Why aren't you out here with me? Now, it don't take all of that, but it takes some of that. You understand what I'm saying? But see, we're so holy, we don't want nobody to know it. Good God from Zion. Ha, cha, cha, cha. Whoa! Ha, tamayana. Ha, tamalia. Glory to the sausage. Huh? I'm not making fun of us. I'm just saying we're too boxed up. We're too boxed up. We have a chance. You see somebody hurt, go over and say, are you okay? Well, can I pray for you? Be a witness. We're the true Jehovah Witnesses. We know Jehovah. Those people just know his name. You know him. He's healed your body. He's raised you up. Are you listening to me? I mean, man, tell the world. This is who he is. Day like this, I am so glad that the truth came. When we were growing up, every message, we was going to hell. Every message. Y'all going to hell. If you don't do right, you lie. A whoremonger. I didn't know what a whoremonger was. But I tell you what, I didn't want to be one because a whoremonger going to hell. Can you just stop for a minute and say, Lord, thank you? Can you do that? Say, thank you. God is a merciful God. He just wants us to be determined to know him, determined to love him, determined to walk with him. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? And watch this now. Watch this. Let's look at, I'm going to give you a statement I wrote. Anything in our lives to which we are totally determined must be things in our lives that have Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has declared. In other words, what I've embraced must be what the Holy Spirit has declared. What's in my life must be what the Holy Spirit declared. Reason things don't work is because there are things in your life that should not be in your life. There are people in your life that shouldn't be in your life. You should love everybody, but you can't welcome everybody into your space. Oh, you hearing what I'm saying? Mom says to me, Earl, I don't want you with Tommy Spells. He's not a good boy. I don't want you with him. I came back home. I said, Mom, I know what you told me. I go to school with Tommy. I'm with him all the time. He's a good person. I want to be his friend. She said, okay, you need to go. Just go ahead. I told you, you're going to learn. I'm so happy. I leave the house. I'm going out with Tommy Spells. We meet up with Tommy, and we're going to the store, and I'm with Tommy. And we're having a great time going down the street. And a little white girl walks out there and say, hey, nigga. And Tommy chased her to the house with a knife. Why, mama got to be right? I'm scared. I go home. We had a basement to our house. I go down in the basement. Police, you have a son named Earl? Yes. He said, ma'am, I know what you're going to say, but your son chased a little girl with a knife. I know what you're going to say. Now, here's mama. Here's mama. I'm down in the basement. I'm hearing the whole thing. Here's what mama says to this officer. I'm not going to say that because I don't know what he does when he's not with me. Mama. Mama threw the other curve, man. See, I'm your boy, Mom. Yeah, but you're the same boy I told not to be with Tommy. Y'all hear me? God gives us warning, but we know more than he do about the people that he's told us not to be with. And then when they hurt us, then we want to get mad at God and say, now, no. I went to court. And they said, you chased this girl with a knife and put me on probation until I was 16 years old. There was a record in Clovis, New Mexico, that I had pulled a knife on a little girl. I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you that story every time I see somebody who will not take a warning. God knows best. If he tells us not to do something, why challenge that? And if you don't understand it, say, Father, I don't understand this, but I trust you. Are you listening to it? And then let it go that way. I'm preaching like I got a whole time, a lot of time. So let me just, y'all all right? So the responsibility of determining has been declared in an assurance of operating in the spirit and not in the flesh. See, determination is not something of the flesh, it's of the spirit. It says of God, his determinate counsel. So God has a determination. His determination is that all should not be lost, but saved. That's his determination. That's what God wants. And then Genesis chapter 11, verse 6 gives us an example of how people employ this determination. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. We're talking about the Tower of Babel. We're talking about the people working together. And this is God now. God says, we need to go down and see what they're doing. Because these people is one. And they all have one language, and this they began to do. Now watch this. This is God talking about these people, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That's God saying that whatever you put your heart to do and you do it, even he can't stop it. If it's right, it's going to be a blessing. If it's wrong, it's going to cost us a whole lot of trepidation. Are you here? You everybody all right? That's the power. Genesis 11:6. That's the power of determination. The people got together and said, let's build this tower. Let's go to the heavens. Let's go to the heavens. Let's go to the heavens. And God looked down. I said, boy, they're on the way. And nothing that these people have desired to do. What does that mean? What does that mean? See, any place else, they would call this a motivational speech. Anywhere else, they would call this a trump up. You know, no. But God is saying, if my people could believe like those people believe, nothing would be withheld from you. Nothing would be withheld from you. If you believed me, if you stop accusing me, if you stop blaming me for things that were not my responsibility and just get with me, whatever you desire in your heart will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass and be done of my Father, which is in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Anything you desire, you ask in the Father's name, and it'll be done for you. It'll be done for you. It'll be done for you. They imagine to do. Jesus said, anything they imagine to do. And that word, that phrase, imagine to do, means formed an image of something in the mind. They formed an image of something in the mind. They dreamed. They determined. He said, anything you dream, anything you determine, you know, and this was to the negative, and we could do that to the positive. I dreamt that when I was growing up that I would travel the world, and thank God I have. I dreamed. We used to get in the car. My grandpa had a car that wasn't running, and we would get in that car, and I would be the driver, and I'd say, shut the doors now. And they said, where are we going today, Earl? I said, we're going out of town. And we just drive and drive. A car not even moving, but we're gone. Why? Because whatever you imagine. People, you lose your dream when you get tired. And when you get tired and don't know how to rest, you lose your vision. When you lose your vision, you lose your dream. When you lose your dream, you are stuck. You are stuck. You've got to have something that excites you, something that ignites you. I know I'm getting on a lot of people's nerve with all of this, but those of you who need this, you go ahead and say amen. Okay, because I I'm going to have to just kind of close my eyes to the people that just kind of looking at me like, what time are you going to be finished? I'm trying to help us come to a place where what you are, stubborn is a determination. When you're stubborn, that's a determination. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But change it from stubbornness to willingness. Watch God do some things in your life. Watch him do some things in your life that'll just amaze you. That'll amaze you. Now, here we go. If this group of persons can imagine and have to be stopped by God himself from their determination, why can't we succeed? What hinders us from the same attitude of determination to obey and to do great things for God? I want to go to the end of the message now, because I think I'm at a place where we can begin to kind of bring it to a close. I want to go down to the architect of our will is God. The architect of our will is God. If we're born again, God is the architect of our will. Determination is a vital part of the will. Placing our delight in him assures that determination of our hearts are fashioned after the pattern of his will. That's a key for those who are taking notes, that the determination of our hearts are fashioned after the pattern of his will. Let's give you an example. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? Jesus answered and said, I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate did not shape that in Jesus. God shaped that in Jesus. And Pilate became a witness of it from the voice of Jesus as he's speaking. I know why I'm here.
I know why I'm here. And when they tried to make him prematurely a king, he said, whoa, 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 no, this is too early. I'm going to tell you something that really taught me a lesson. The Lord gave me a revelation of how churches could raise funds. I went to several churches and they raised thousands of dollars from that prescription that God gave me. I went to this one church and they raised so much money and they were so excited. So the pastor says, we're going to have a celebration. He called me and said, would you come and be a part of our celebration? I said, yes, I will be there. And as soon as I said, yes, I'll be there, that thought popped in me. Oh, my God. He's having 25, 30 of the pastors come, and they're going to hear him say how wonderful and awesome I was in helping them raise all that money, and I'm going to get 25 or 30 more appointments. To God be the glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Most High. Oh, hallelujah. I stepped into that place with the confidence that I was going to be celebrated and my name was going to be called, and I'm going to now be able to go all over and do what I was supposed to do. That program was long. It just went. And now the pastor is up and here is the opportunity. I am practiced. So God be the glory. It was God. Thank God that he used me. I'm all ready. He went on. And then it's time to dismiss. Something's not right here. Something's not right. I stumbled out. I went out of that building. I was angry. I was upset. And the Lord said, Earl. Yes, Lord. He said, what is your problem? I said, Lord, you know what I did. And he made no mention of it. Didn't even call my name. And the Lord said, he said, what do you want? Do you want their praise or you want my approval? Why can't I have both? Oh, did you hear me? That's why I can preach this message to you. I've made the mistakes on both ends. You don't talk to God like that. But I was so upset, I didn't know what else to do. Why can't I have both? Why can't you approve me and why can't they? Had no more appointments after that. Nobody called on me. That was my moment. How many people across culture have done all the work that you did and nobody saw you do it and you thought you was going to get some praise for it and nobody said anything and now you don't come to church like you should because you're just not appreciated. Bless your little heart. Bless your little heart. I was so torn for weeks. It ruined me until God showed me, did you do it for them? Or did you do it for me? Who gave you how to do it? Did they or me? Oh, I'm straight now. Or as the old folks say, I'm straight. I don't have that problem no more. To God be the glory. Are you listening to me? So let's just right now take this opportunity to examine where we are. We have an opportunity to be great in God, do great things for God. But it's going to take us time, commitment, and willingness. Time, commitment, and willingness. Okay? And so we're going to pray tonight that this Bible study would be just the beginning of you understanding that when things come against you. Here's the other thing. Don't be shocked when you're persecuted. He says that that's just going to happen to the righteous. The righteous are going to be persecuted. Don't be shocked when people don't like you being saved. You understand what I'm saying? Don't be surprised. He says, now they that live godly shall suffer persecution. How many of you live in godly? Let me see. How many of you live in godly? Some hands are not up. I know you say, well, you're not living godly to live godly. You're living godly as a witness and a testimony of his godliness. So you're going to be persecuted for him. So take it patiently. God's on your side. Amen? So, Father, we give you the glory. We give you honor now. Would you stand with me as we pray? We just thank you and we praise you right now. that you have placed in us, the will to do, and you are the one who's responsible for everything that we do. We give you glory and we give you honor in the name of Jesus. In your own language now and in your own way, whatever God has told you to do and you need to recommit to determination, would you just take this time right now, you and God, have some music if you can provide that for us, and you and God just recommit that you're going to walk in his way. You're going to do what he's asked you to do. That this determination in you is from him. And that you're going to do, be, and just act everything that he is. Why don't we just lift our hands while we're waiting for them, for the music, and just begin to yield to God. Open your mouth, just begin to praise him. Open your mouth and begin to confess out of that mouth the things that he has told you to do that you need to be determined about and determined for. Give it all to him now. God, I give you everything in me. I give you all. We sing that song, all of me. But Lord, tonight, at Cross Culture, tonight, we make this commitment. Tonight, we say you are our God and you're everything to us. And we glorify you. Tonight we determine that we're going to follow you. We're going to do what you ask us to do. And we're going to go where you ask us to go. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the Lord has assigned you to a project, pray over that project right now. And say, in Jesus' name, it'll be done to your glory. It'll be done to your glory. It'll be done to your glory. And God, you will get the glory. We give you the praise. We give you glory right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Can you open your mouth now and just begin to praise him? Just begin to give him glory. Oh, we magnify your name, Lord. We magnify your name. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's it. Let it fill this place. Let the worship of God and the praise of God fill this place. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. Oh, we thank you for the anointing. We're not going to ask you to anoint us. We're going to say that we're going to wake up the anointing that's on us. We're going to wake up the anointing that's on us. We're going to give you the glory. We're going to give you praise. Come on, just begin to give him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the vessel that you used tonight to minister to us. Lord, we want to recommit our hearts and lives to you. We're determined to see to it that the vision that you've given us will come to pass, even in our individual lives, but even corporately, that, Lord, we'll not allow circumstances, situations to stand in the way. But, Lord, we're going to push past all of them. Even those things that will come to mind, it's not just external, but sometimes it's the internal that try to interfere. So, Lord, we'll not allow that even to get us off track, but we're determined. Thank you, Lord, for saying this to us and giving us examples of determination, even through the things that Dr. Earl Johnson had gone through himself and his challenges and the things that he put on display concerning many others in the scripture. Lord, now is our time to push past every obstacle and to move forward in you. So we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Were you blessed? Were you blessed? Amen. Amen. Praise God. We thank you. Thank you, my brother, for blessing us tonight. And it's a good way to start off our anniversary. The anniversary is next month, but I believe this is a prelude to the anniversary, to hear the message we heard tonight. And the Lord is depending on you. Can you imagine that now? God, as big as he is, entrusting that to us to do our part in order for the whole to be fulfilled. So let's be determined. Let's take this message to heart. And I hope you took good notes, but if you didn't, let's get the CD and hear it over and over again. So it could be, and I'm looking at the notes. I'm looking at when are you going to get to the notes? He had so much more to share with us because, let me tell you something, what he shared is rich. And I was looking at the notes there, and it's about two and a half or three pages more that had not been covered, that we did not hear, that he meditated upon, prepared. And it was a personal message to Cross Culture Church. This wasn't generic. It's to us. God, he labored to hear what God had to say through him to us. So let us take it as a word, as the word of the Lord. I want you to hear it. Not just the words of a man, but these are the words. This is the word of the Lord to Cross Culture Church. So the church say it. Let the church say, amen, amen. Amen.